With so many religions in the world today, how can we know which, if any, is true? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June is Religion on Trial, Examining Religious Truth Claims. It's written by regular guest Craig Parton. Learn more about Religion on Trial at IssuesETC.org or call Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Religion on Trial by Craig Parton.
Planned Parenthood said that they want to help the communities, especially the Black community, even though their founder, Margaret Sanger, said, and I'm paraphrasing them just a little bit, colored people are like weeds that need to be exterminated.
When we hold to the good, godly distinctions between men and women in Scripture, it should be no surprise to us that in the same way that preaching the Word of God clearly makes us isolated from all the rest of the world.
The one who forgave you all your sins with his blood, he is not abandoning you to the grave. No, he's not going to forget you. He's made you his own.
I'm Vicky.
And I'm Ron from Ontario, Canada.
Confessional Lutherans who play in German polka bands, love issues, etc.
I was just having this conversation with my daughter this morning. We were on our morning walk with the grandkids, and she was talking about growing up in that transition. Everyone grows up in a transition, but for her, the transition was from a world where the internet barely existed when she was a child and had little influence in her life to, well, in her adulthood now, the internet is everywhere. And we're expected to be plugged in and connected all the time. The transition, of course, for me, her father, spans a greater period of time, and there is a faint memory of a world without the internet, although I do wonder from time to time what I did with myself before that. And along with that technology, which is out there and everywhere and largely unseen, it's not like we go and visit the place where these server farms exist, although you can drive past them in many major cities. Well, we have it in our hands and in our pockets and everywhere we go, including church. I was commenting to someone at our recent Issues Etc. Making the Case conference that I could hardly do my job, at least the same way I do it now, without my constant companion of my iPhone. That in the course of carrying out our conference, that's how I communicated with my boss through most of the time. It made things much easier. I didn't have to go find him. He didn't have to go find me. It is so convenient, isn't it? It's made life a picture of convenience. Everything, the world, and more is at our fingertips. So why not bring it into church? There's a recent Slate piece titled, "Many Church Services Are Now a Sea of iPhones, and Clergy Members Think That That's Great." Is it? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Thursday afternoon, June the 14th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about technology in church. Pastor Hans Feeney will be our guest for the first half hour of the program. A little bit later, we'll be reviewing a movie that's 14 years old but has a sequel coming out tomorrow. And that is The Incredibles is the first movie, and Incredibles 2 is coming out tomorrow. A lot of questions for people who loved the first one. Will it, 14 years later, with so many changes in the way we view men, women, and the family, reflect the same kind of family life that the first one did? Pastor Ted Geese will be our guest to review it. And then we'll talk the prophet Elijah. Elisha is first the servant of Elijah, and then a prophet in his own right with a double portion of the Spirit. And he's working miracles, even greater miracles than those worked by his predecessor. How does he foreshadow the miracles of Jesus Christ? Indeed, even Christ's greatest miracle, his death and his resurrection for the salvation of the world. Dr. Walter A. Meyer III will join us in hour two to remember the prophet Elisha, remembered on this day by the church. Feel free to join us with your questions or your comments. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8383. 8882. Joining us to talk about technology in the church, Pastor Hans Feeney, pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, and senior contributor to The Federalist. Hans, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
We couldn't do what we're doing right now without some pretty amazing technology that's only come along in the last several decades. We make it our business here at Issues, Etc., to stay abreast of the technology. It's part of the way we do things cheaper and faster and stronger and all those things. Someone might say to you, Pastor, the church has accommodated itself to technology. We have air conditioning and furnaces. We have electric lights. We have mics and we have sound systems. Why not iPhones and other devices there in the life of the church?
Yeah, you know, I think technology in and of itself is neutral. And so when it comes to our incorporation of technology into the church, the question really at hand is, does the technology serve in the proclamation of the word? Does it serve in putting Christ at the center? Or does it detract from that? Does it put something else at the center? Or does it remove us in some way from the word? And I think, so certainly when you look at things like heating and air conditioning, that's a fairly straightforward thing where you say, well, it's a lot easier to focus on the Word of God when you're not either boiling or freezing. It's when it comes to things like microphones, it's the same type of concept that when it enables you to actually hear the words that are being spoken more clearly, then that certainly is technology that's used to God's glory and to the benefit of the church in hearing the word of salvation. When it comes to, I think, things like iPads, devices where that are basically being used as a form of interaction in the church. So in other words, they're not so much used to get the word to you as much as they are used to allow you to interact with the word. I think in particular, you know, there are a lot of churches that have incorporated this idea of live tweeting during the services, you know, so that the pastor will be tweeting stuff out or people will be responding to things in the sermon that they're hearing. And I think that's stuff that very much detracts from centering Christ at putting Christ at the center, because basically what you're doing is instead of being a hearer of the word, you are essentially being a journalist of the word, where it seems as though you're kind of trying to respond to it, where you're trying to put yourself into a position where you're needing to have an instant reaction to something, where you're trying to immediately analyze the information and kind of give your spin on it, where you're determining whether this is something that's resonated with you, whether it hasn't resonated with you. And that's that kind of instant analysis is really not how preaching is designed to work. It's not how the divine service is meant to work. It's meant to put you in a position where you can simply meditate on, hear the word, and listen to it. I, for one, don't particularly even like having the readings printed out in the bulletin. I know a lot of people are highly dependent upon that. But I don't think, by and large, people need them. And I think it's a great thing for people to just relearn how to sit back and let information and let words of comfort enter their ears without feeling like they need to do more work to kind of mine through that themselves.
So deal with this aspect of it, if you would, Pastor Feeney. It kind of all depends on what you think you're in church for, what you think is happening there. I was recently at a ball game with my wife, and I have no compunction whatsoever about pulling out my iPhone and checking Facebook or Twitter or something like that, because I'm just there to watch the game. I don't really have any stake beyond just some light emotional one to what's going on here. And all I'm there for is for entertainment.
Right, yeah. And so I think one of the challenges with smartphones, with constantly having access to the internet, constantly being connected to everyone in the world, is that everyone has access to you all the time. And one of the challenges of this, obviously, and this is why these things oftentimes cause so much tension, you know, why it's considered a very rude thing to be checking your phone when someone is talking to you, is that because communication is prioritized. And so when you're talking to someone, the indication you're giving them when you are giving them your full undivided attention is, this is the most important thing going on for me right now. And so by virtue of that, taking out your phone and playing on it when someone is talking to you, and I'm more guilty of this than your average person, I suppose, the implication there is this person that you're talking to is not as important as what is going on in your phone, the other people in the world who are trying to communicate with you, whether that's through texting, whether or even in circumstances where what you're essentially doing is saying, yes, I know you're a real person that I know that has a relationship with me. I'm going to ask you to take to play second fiddle to some person I don't even know who's not actually trying to talk to me, but I just want to find out what random strangers are yelling about on the Internet. So I think that that's sort of the challenge that we have, is that when that's brought into worship, one of the great things about keeping that kind of world outside of the sanctuary is when we walk into the divine service, we should know, even if we struggle to believe it, we should know and confess, this is the most important thing in the world. This is the most important thing that's happening right now. So outside of emergencies to your children and things of that nature, any other communication that's going on is taking you away from that. Any time that God is speaking to you and you're preferring to hear the words of someone else or preferring to interact with someone else, that's placing that person above God. And likewise, kind of as I was saying before, even when you're in a position where you're seeking to instantly respond to what it is that God is saying to you through the word that's being proclaimed, in a way, it's the timing of it just seems to kind of indicate that a person is saying, my reaction to this is more important than the thing itself. My response to the word of salvation, my joyous reception of that and making sure that everyone knows what I've received and all of that is more important than the word of God, which is certainly not true.
Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest. We're talking about technology in the church on this Thursday, June the 14th, when we come back. He stated earlier that the technology in and of itself is neutral. That's true. I mean, just the existence of the device sitting next to me here doesn't necessarily affect it, but I'm not neutral, and I interact with the technology, so we'll push back gently on the neutrality of the technology as we use it, especially the fact of the phenomenon of our scrolling, ever-unrolling, distracted interest. Stay tuned.
What does it mean to be a man? More importantly, what does it mean to be a man of God? In its June issue, the Lutheran Witness aims to help readers dig more deeply into the Bible's vision of men set free. Free to be loving husbands, caring fathers, bold proclaimers of the gospel, and self-sacrificial images of Jesus Christ. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
I've written a column in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Confessions of a Well-Intentioned Preacher. It details how I mistakenly ignored or explained away entire parts of Scripture in order to protect my hearers from legalism. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Lyman Stone writes about the certainty he found in the presence of Christ in his word and sacraments, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest. We're talking about technology in the church. I want to push back gently on something you said earlier, that the technology itself, in and of itself, is neutral. And I think I understand exactly what you're saying, that the technology doesn't itself kind of leap out and do something actively. But the medium often is the message, and I'm not neutral when I interact with the technology. So let's talk about how the technology, playing off that notion that the medium is the message, that technology can, I think brain scientists are even saying, rewire our brains if we're interacting with it enough, in terms of kind of scrolling. I've called it distracted interest. You know, when I'm scrolling at night, Hans, I'm not really interested in anything I'm looking at. I'm just distracting myself from a lull in the ball game or something like that.
Yeah, I think that's very true. That, you know, and this is the thing we always joke about. You know, I think there's an internet joke or meme or whatever you want to call it that's gone around about that for a long time. That, you know, you have in your pocket this device that contains more information than, you know, all of the libraries in the world combined. You know, up until, I suppose, a few years ago, and I use it to look at pictures of cats and argue with strangers on the internet. And so that's, you know, kind of one of the dangers of this stuff, is that this is pretty obvious, I think, to people who spend much time on social media. We're not getting smarter. We're not using this this multitude of resources in front of us to deepen our understanding of the world and to engage our minds. We're using it to just kind of release endorphins in our brains and to go through just kind of motions that we've sort of gotten ourselves addicted to, you know, kind of in order to do that, that we get to the point where our brains are so uncomfortable with silence and uncomfortable with a lack of stimulus that we simply have to find it. And I certainly find myself doing this all the time, there's a lull in a TV show that you're watching or whatever it is, where you have a moment when you're waiting for your printer to, finish up, and you're just constantly looking for more things to stimulate you, but it's not in any kind of academic way. And so that's sort of the question, is if that's just kind of the way that most of this stuff works in every other aspect of our lives, is it fair to assume that that's also how that stuff is going to work if we bring it into the sanctuary?
The slight piece that we have used as kind of the stimulus for our conversation talks a lot about Bible apps, people using those instead of toting their print Bibles in church. And, you know, the pastor, instead of saying open up your Bible, says open up your Bible or your app. What are your thoughts on the textual things that make up Christian worship, like the Bible or the liturgy, all of those things going into the form of electronica?
Well, it's certainly very convenient. It's great to have those things. I've got a Bible app on my phone. It's great. I use it, when I'm working out at the gym and I don't want to have, all that dead time, and I want to be able to consume some of the Word while I'm doing that. So that's, certainly a great thing. Or when you're driving and, you have long periods of time when you could listen to a bunch of songs you don't really care that much about, or you can actually engage with the Word. So there's certainly a proper place for it. The question ultimately is just, is the divine service the proper place for that? And I think especially with the way that a lot of devices work, that's not a practice we have in our congregation, but I don't think I would want the temptation sitting there in the pew, because this is the way that phones work. I'm sure I'm not the only one for whom this has been the case, where you open up your phone to do something productive, to look up someone's phone number, to call, whatever it is, and then you see the app, and you see you've got some notification on the app, and your brain just goes, well, we got to look and see what that is. And so in the same way, when you're, if you're picking up a pew Bible, there's not a temptation to check your email, check your Facebook, check your Instagram, whatever it is that you might be doing. But there is that temptation if you're seeing that on your phone, while you're trying to get to the app, if you're having notifications come in. If you're the kind of parent who lets your kid play on your phone while he's waiting at the doctor's office or stuff like that, which I definitely encourage you not to be, don't let your kids play with your phones. That's also another problem, is that if, mom or dad goes to pick up the pew Bible on Sunday morning, the worst you have to worry about with your kid is your kid trying to draw in it. But, if mom's taking out her phone, dad's taking out his phone, and all of a sudden the kid goes, oh, that's the device that you give me when I'm bored, and that reminds me that I'm bored, so please hand that over until I lose my mind. That's certainly not a good temptation to place in front of your little ones. But don't let them play with your phones anyways.
Finally then, and this was something I was discussing with my daughter again this morning, is what will it be like in 10 years or what will it be like in 25 years? It seems that we ought to be at least a little wary of introducing the technology at this point because it might be the thin edge of a much more dangerous wedge in the church, given how quickly the technology grows, advances, and changes our lives. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think when it comes to evaluating the usefulness of technology in the worship service, probably a helpful question to ask yourself is, could this be used better for, so in other words, is this going to lean towards doing really good things with it, or is this going to lean towards doing really stupid things with it and really bad things with it? So again, you go back to things like air conditioning and heating, and you go, well, that seems pretty simple, that it's a universal good to have the climate be a bit more enjoyable for everyone. It certainly seems to be a universal good for microphones to be able to make it possible for people to hear better in the service, even though, sure, there's plenty of dumb stuff that you can amplify that perhaps you couldn't before. I think when it comes to technology of this nature, the question is, you kind of look at that and you go, well, is this, I'm sure it's great if people can, you know, be reading the Word together in a worship service, even though I think it's probably preferable for them to just listen to it, since we never do that in any other circumstances. But we kind of already had that option, you know, in terms of people, you know, looking up Bible verses in the pew hymnals, in the pew Bibles before, and it's also good for people to actually have to be able to physically thumb through one. It helps them learn where the books are, where the chapters are, things of that nature. But ultimately, in the end, you say there's probably a lot of really dumb ideas that are going to be possible now because of this stuff. And if there's just, you know, for every one good thing you could do with them, are there five really stupid things that you could do with them? And if that's the case, it's probably best to be pretty leery and cautious of that technology.
Pastor Hans Feeney is pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois. He's creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, and he's senior contributor to The Federalist. You can read his columns and find out more about Lutheran satire under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Hans, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time looking at an old movie. It's 14 years old, by the way, but its sequel is coming out tomorrow. The sequel is Incredibles 2, the old movie. Although it's a favorite of many, The Incredibles had some marvelous themes for an animated film. It had family, it had superheroes, it had sacrifice, all those kinds of things in it. What about the sequel? We'll answer some of those questions with Pastor Ted Geese on the other side of the break. Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining our congregational sponsorship program, the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. You'll find an informational flyer on the support page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. The Issues Etc. 300.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM. Or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century.
Lord, hear us, and stay our word.
21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Pastor Tyler Arnold at Christ Lutheran in Platt Woods, Kansas City, Missouri. We are privileged to serve our Lord in word and sacrament through the historic liturgies of the church. Do join us for divine service at 8 and 10:45 and adult Bible study and Sunday school at 9:30. Each Wednesday evening, we have Vespers at 7 p.m. Our address is 6700 Northwest 72nd Street, or call us at 816-741-0483. You can find us on the web at ChristLC.net. Come and be our guest at and with Christ.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at LutherAcademy.com. LutherAcademy.com, and like them on Facebook. Facebook.com/Luther Academy.